Jackie Vick. She's with Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Farmers are busy, probably trying to work really hard before the rainfall comes in, but it's not the, I would guess it's kind of the, it's their biggest worry, but there are other things that are happening in the marketplace we ought to talk about to begin with. The government shutdown is really beginning to throw some kinks into the market, I suppose.
Well, it is. You know, the biggest one and the most important at the moment, of course, is the settlement of the milk contracts from September. And CME did announce this morning that they're going to get the prices from the federal milk marketing order, and they will be able to do those. And the next one, of course, would be the October hogs and then the October feeder cattle. All of those particular contracts are cash settled and rely on getting numbers from the USDA. You know, today another thing that came up was the feeder cattle index and the lean hog index are indefinitely stopped. That's another guiding point that we use, of course, for where futures are versus where cash is actually at. And so, you know, export sales will be missing tomorrow morning. Next week, Monday, if we're not up and running again, export inspections will not be around. And then if we look further out, of course, we have the October 11th USDA supply and demand report, which everyone is anticipating, waiting to see if we're actually going to see it drop in harvested acres. Are we going to see more acres than what we thought were planted? There are just so many questions that we need that report to be able to answer. And so, yes, it is definitely having an impact.
And, of course, not along with the supply and demand report, we'd also get the crop production report, and that would rely on survey work that isn't taking place at the moment.
That's right. And so that particular, well, we can probably kind of forget about that because that does take place usually these first 2 weeks of the month, and so I doubt very much if we're going to get any information on that. The only information that there would be available would be the FSA numbers, and again, that that is in regard to acreage.
And volume has been able to stay up or not stay up? Are people aside?
No, volume's a low. Volume has dropped off a great deal. In fact, today is the first time that we saw the dollar index and a futures contract, the December contract on the dollar, actually go below 80 since February. And I believe that a lot of that is related to, you know, buyers are just going to stand on the side. They're going to see how long this goes on, what kind of an impact it might have on the actual economy itself. European buyers are certainly going to be waiting on the sidelines to see once what's happening. But I would venture to think that, you know, they would be likely buyers once things get back to normal again and begin to run. I think there's a lot of hope, at least on the European. All the reading that I've been doing on the European side is there's a great deal of hope that maybe this will finally trigger some type of settlement when it comes to the debt ceiling.
Well, I guess we'll have to wait Washington out a bit. I have another question about the low volume. I suppose maybe as we begin this process in the last 2 days that it might allow the market to drift a bit lower. But does it not also create greater volatility over time because there just is a lack of trade?
Absolutely. Volatility. Well, you know, if someone can think about it like going to an auction, you know, if you have one person who's bidding on something, the bids aren't probably going very far. If you have a lot of people who are bidding on it, you know, you're going to have a much busier marketplace. In this particular case, if you want to sell something and there's only one guy who wants to buy it, and he's offering something a great deal lower, you may eventually end up settling for that. And so, yes, low volume has always led to high volatility just because, you know, you just don't have as many people involved.
And let's turn our attention now directly to the marketplace. Corn futures didn't do a whole lot. I suppose maybe they were supported by wheat today.
Well, I think wheat has been a great supporter. A little bit of support probably came out of the ethanol report that came out today, too, Todd. We saw production up 11.6% over a year ago so far, and it was up over last month. Stocks are down 17.5%. The only thing that's a little concerning on that report is that we're averaging 91.88 million bushels of corn use per week for ethanol, which means we now have to actually get to 94.36 per week to make that 4.9 billion bushel prediction that the USDA has out there. But there's no question that wheat was a supporter. When you look at the December corn went down and actually put in a quarter cent lower low than yesterday. It just couldn't stop that quarter cent to put in a double bottom. But you know, we bounced off of it, and it was a probing day. I follow, when I look at the markets, I look to see once how far do we go down and where do we end up, you know, and if you look at candlesticks, we had a long wick to the bottom and a short wick to the top. So, you know, they did test to the bottom and find out, you know, was there a lot of selling there, and there didn't appear to be today at least. So we do have to get above 452, though, again, to really feel like we're back on track, because, you know, that's 138% retracement from that August low of 445 and three quarters to the August high of 508 and a quarter, and that has been a strong spot for us. So it's going to be a very interesting ride here with this government shutdown in the background.
And I suppose we ought to take a moment and explain a term. Candlesticks is a chart term. It's the open is the top of the candlestick, and the close can be the bottom, or whichever way they happen to be, the bottom of the candlestick, and then the wick is how far out it trades from either side of the open or the close. So kind of looks like a candlestick with a wick kind of sticking out from either end, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And when you have a close that's exactly the same as the open was, you have what you call a doji, and that is usually an indicator of a change. And we came very, very close to that on corn today, but we didn't quite make it. So tomorrow will be more of a confirming day, and we'll see once where we go from there. But I also think, you know, the weather is in the background here on corn, Todd, you know, from the standpoint that, and it certainly helped beans today too, slowing down of harvest, and all of that always, you know, adds to loss potential and all of those types of things. And so we've got a lot of things going on out there.
Weather may play a bigger role than we think, I suppose, in the future. South America's awful dry, especially Argentina.
I was just going to say, you know, South America is the one that's probably playing even a bigger role than what this current possible wet weather that we've got coming is. You know, Argentina is very dry, dry to the point where they've cut off their wheat exports, and that's part of what's supporting wheat here, because we have China and Brazil. They were both big buyers last week of wheat here in the U.S., and I don't believe Argentina is going to do anything in terms of opening their market until they know for certain they can meet their domestic demand. And Mato Grosso, now some parts of Brazil are getting some decent rains, and they are actually starting to plant some beans, but Mato Grosso still is very, very dry. And so, you know, they're the largest bean-growing state in Brazil. So I think weather around the world will again be playing a big part in what happens here.
Any chart points for the November beans?
Well, I look at November beans, you know, we have major support at that 1258 level on the weekly moving average, and we've got resistance at 1282, the 100-day moving average, on a daily chart. And so, you know, if you looked at today's trade, we went down to 1263 and three quarters, close to yesterday's low, but we went right up to 1282 and failed. So I believe that those will be two strong points, and we'll probably range trade in between there until we get more information.
Close me out with a bit on the livestock, please.
Well, when you look at the livestock, of course, we had a rough day yesterday, and that was primarily because of the government impact. Today we saw quite a bit of short covering coming in on the hogs, and they definitely expect higher cattle cash prices. You know, the choice select ratio right now is at 15.64, so we have a lot of really nice choice finished animals standing out in that yard. So I don't expect it to go a great deal higher, but I do think it could go a dollar to maybe $2 higher this week.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. That's Jackie Vick. She's with Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on the Closing Market Report for this Wednesday afternoon.